But I'll tell you what, I've been asked a ton of times over almost 30 years in ministry, Kev, what is God's will for my life? Or some version of it. Should I stay or should I go? And sometimes, like that song said, if I stay, there's going to be trouble. And if I go, there'll be double. It's like, there's not even a good option. Should I take this job? The money, it's like, it's great, but I would have to move, which could be exciting. Or should I just stay and take the friendships and the community that I have, and it's easier? How do I know what to do? Big decision in my house over the last 7 years has been where to go to college. Three of my kids are in college. One's out. Two are in it. And it's like, so we're just going, where do I go to college? Should I stay local? It's cheaper. Should I stay in Florida? I have bright futures. Or should I go out of state? I mean, that's way riskier. Two of my four kids, they played Division I sports in college, football for my oldest, volleyball for my third. And it's like tons of prayer. God, what is your will? Where should I go? What school is going to be best for me? My youngest right now, we're praying. She's getting recruited. She's a junior in high school. We're praying, God, where do you want her to go? Do you have a school that's best for her? We know you have a plan. What is it? We ask questions like, God, should I marry this guy? I mean, he's okay. He's like pretty good. You know, he's not great, but he's good enough. Is good enough what you want for me, God? Is that what you have for me? It can feel so complicated. How many of you just wish that when you're praying about a big decision, God would just make it clear? Just raise your hand. Like, wouldn't you just like, God, just make this thing clear, make it obvious? Well, today we are going to talk about our ability to find God's perfect will for our lives. And I just want to tell you, there is a way to know what God wants you to do. Over the next few weeks, we are going to work towards you knowing exactly how to understand God's will, how to know what His will is, how to hear His voice, and how to ultimately do what God has shown you that He wants you to do. So let me pray before we jump in anymore. God, thank you so much for this morning. Lord, I thank you that you care about our decisions and that you want what's best for us. So Lord, I pray right now that you would speak to us, open our hearts, our minds, our souls to your voice and your voice alone. Lord, please, we don't want to hear from me. We want to hear from you because you are who matters this morning and you are who matters every single day. So God, speak, your servants, your people, and everyone in this room, we are listening. Amen. So there's a survey a few years ago from about.com, and they asked thousands of people this question: do you believe that there is only one soulmate in the world meant for you? Thousands of people are asked that question, and amazingly, 75% of people said yes. Like, wow, let's talk about that. Your odds of being struck by lightning this year, 1 in 960,000 people. That's your odds, 1 in 960,000. Your odds of winning the Powerball jackpot this year are 1 in 292 million. Your odds of finding your one soulmate on the entire planet, 1 in 8.3 billion. Good luck. Don't screw it up. You better be looking every single day. You only get one chance. Don't mess it up. Some people think finding God's will is kind of like that. God has one perfect will. Either you find it or you don't and you're out of it. Or there's only one right person to marry. Don't miss it. Only one right college to go to. Don't screw it up. Only one right profession to choose. You better get it right the first time. Only one destiny, as some people call it. Well, I'll tell you what, that creates a lot of pressure and a lot of fear. Like what if you screw that up? What if you miss that one thing, you make a wrong decision? Like, is God going to put you in like a permanent spiritual penalty box? Well, you could have got it, but you chose poorly. So now you get to live there and you don't get to enjoy His blessings. You don't get to enjoy His goodness. If that's how you think, like, it puts a lot of fear in you. It's like, well, what if I marry the wrong person? What if I take the wrong job? What if we move at the wrong time? Like, what if God wants us to move next year, not this year? What if I've already missed God's best? And all I've got for the rest of my life are the seconds that God has for me. Well, my goal and our goal over the next 4 weeks is to help reframe what you may think about when you think about God's will. I want to show you from His Word that God is not sitting in heaven playing some kind of cosmic game of hide and seek. His will is not a specific dot on a map that you got to search around and you got to find. And if you miss it, you've blown it. His will is way bigger than that. Way more personal than that. Way more freeing than that, because at its core, God is a relational God. He's a relational God who loves you. And so I want to start with a passage I read as a very young man that began to shape my view of God's will and how to follow it. It's helped keep my heart in a good place no matter the circumstances. It has allowed me to keep trusting God and has proven true over more than 3 decades of just following Jesus closely. It has become one of my life verses, and this is God speaking in Jeremiah 29:11. He says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord." Before I read any more, you need to hear this from God's mouth to you. This isn't a general statement. This is a specific for, "I know the plans I have for you. They're plans for good and not for disaster. They're to give you a future and a hope." Here's why this verse has stuck with me since my teenage years. Even back then, I knew I had a tendency to make dumb decisions for my life. Even as a teenager, made them for the wrong reasons. I could mask my intentions from myself. I could lie to myself about my motives. I had a tendency to choose the path of least resistance. And so when I read this passage of Scripture, that God had good plans for me, that He already knew them, and that they were good plans with a future and a hope, I just made a decision in my teenage years. I wanted God's plans over mine. I figured He's God. His plans had to be better than anything I could come up with. And so I wanted God's will for my life. Why want that? Why did I want that? Well, here's what I know about God. What you do with your life matters deeply to God, and it is for your whole life. It is not what you do when you're young. It is not what you do when you're middle age. It is what you do with your life until you until you're in the grave. Why He allows us to call Him Father. Like, as a father, I care deeply about my kids. I care deeply about the decisions that they make. I worry. I stress. I want them to make great decisions. I go to God and say, "God, help them, because I can't help them. They're like adults now. They got to make their own decisions, but God, their decisions matter to me." Why? Because I'm their father, just like your decisions and my decisions matter to God, because He's a good Father, and He loves you. And because He's a good Father and because He loves you the way that He does, I am convinced that there is no better life you will experience on this planet than when you are connected to God and you are in the center of His will. Not a better life you're going to find until you get to know God deep enough and are living in the center of His will, doing what He puts you on this earth to do, and fulfilling the mission that He has had for your life since before the day you were born. And so today, I want to give you some theology on God's will. Like, what does God say about His will, and how does it work in real life? And I want to talk about 4 different aspects of God's will, or 4 different layers that reveal His heart, His purpose, His will, and His plan for you. And we'll talk about them in this order. First is God's sovereign will, then God's moral will, God's permissive will, and then God's personal will. And we're going to talk through each one of these. So let's take the first one, the sovereign will of God. It is His unstoppable, unchangeable plan that directs all things towards His purpose. You can go ahead and go to the next slide. There we go. It's God's sovereign will, unstoppable, unchangeable plan that directs all things towards His purpose. This is what God is going to do no matter what. You can't stop it. I can't stop it. Hell can't stop it. The devil can fight it, but he cannot stop God's sovereign will. This is God's master plan, moving all of creation toward His ultimate purpose. And here is how God says it in His word, Isaiah 46:10. He says, "Only I can tell you the future before it happens. Everything I plan will come to pass, for I do whatever I wish." Proverbs 19:21, "You can make many plans, but the Lord's purpose will prevail." What is that saying? Just go ahead and make your plans. Set your goals, build your timeline, dream your dreams, but at the end of the day, it is God's purposes that will prevail. And you see God's sovereign will when He spoke and created the heavens and the earth. You see it when He formed Adam out of the dust and breathed life into mankind. You see it when sin entered the world and God didn't panic. You know, God didn't panic when Adam and Eve ate the fruit. He already had a plan by his sovereign will. The Word became flesh in the person of Jesus. Jesus lived without sin, went to the cross, gave his life as the perfect sacrifice for our sins. 3 days later, by the sovereign will of God, Jesus rose from the grave, and anyone who calls on his name will be saved, will be forgiven, will be made new. And by that same sovereign will, one day the trumpet will sound, Christ will return, those in Christ will raise from the dead, will rise, and then every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. You can be sure that will happen. And you will either confess that Jesus Christ is Lord this side of the day is your last day on this planet when it matters for eternity in a good way, or the day after, or sometime after you pass from this life. And it'll matter for a purpose that you don't want it to matter for. But that will happen. It is God's sovereign will. It will prevail. And you need to hear me about God's sovereign will. Your bad decisions can't stop it. Your painful circumstances can't stop it. Your weaknesses can't stop it. Your failure can't stop it. God's sovereign plan will prevail. Now, we do have an enemy. Satan will fight against the sovereign will of God. He lies, he tempts, he distorts, he attacks, but he cannot overthrow the purposes of God. It's kind of like this. The devil may mess with your plans, but he cannot stop God's purposes in your life. Can't do it. That's God's sovereign will. Let's talk about the second aspect, the moral will of God. The moral will of God, God's timeless truths revealed in his word for how we live. There are some things you don't need to ask God about. He's already answered them in his moral will, in his word. And I would argue that you already know more about God's moral will than you think you do. Let's do a little exercise. Okay, this is group participation. You got to be loud. I'm just going to ask some questions. Is it God's will for this or that? And you yell out the right answer. Okay, you guys ready? Guys, ready? Let me hear you. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do this. That was okay, I heard one guy. You guys ready?
Yeah.
Okay, jump in here with me. Is it God's will for me to be dishonest or honest?
Honest.
Hey, there we go. That's good. That's good. Okay, is it God's will for me to gossip or not gossip? Yeah, right, right. Okay, is it God's will for me to steal or not steal? Okay, this is getting a little tougher here. Is it God's will for me to go the speed limit or 10 miles an hour over it? Don't answer that question. Nobody wants to know the answer to that question. Yeah, right? All right, is it God's will for me to not curse or curse? Not curse. Now people are like, well, it depends on the situation. No, not curse. Okay, is it God's will for me to kick the dog or kick the cat? Kick the cat, of course. That's an easy one. Is it God's will for me to be greedy or be generous? Okay, ushers, come on down. We're taking our offering right now. Let's do it. See, you know more about God's moral will than you think. Why? Because God's word is written on your heart. And contrary to popular belief, God's moral will does not change with the culture. It doesn't bend with public opinion. It is not a la carte Christianity where you're like, oh, I like that one. I don't like that one. Oh, that one. That one's for long ago, but not this one. You know, that's not how it works. God's moral will is clear in Scripture. It is consistent and it is unchanging. So when you ask, what is God's will for my life? How does God want me to live? Let me just make it simple. His word answers that. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 3. God's will is for you to be, say it out loud,
holy.
Holy. God has called us to live holy lives, not impure lives. That means God's moral will is for you to live a life of moral purity. His will is that you would stay away from impurity. Because to be holy means to be set apart, to be different, to be consecrated, to be dedicated to God. God's will is for you to look, it's for you not to look like the sinful fallen world. His will is for you to not act like the sinful fallen world or be driven by the same values of our sinful fallen world. His will is for you to be set apart and become more and more like Jesus every single day of your life. So I'm going to say this lovingly because as your pastor, I want to comfort you sometimes, but other times I want to convict you. So if this convicts you, let me just step on your toes a little bit. And if your toes aren't stepped on, let me just step a little harder. If God's will is for you to be holy, But you live like the world, talk like the world, spend like the world, chase the same things as the world, are entertained by the same things that the world is entertained by, then you're not following Jesus. Meaning you're not living in God's will. Here's the tension. So many of us, we want God's direction for our future while ignoring his direction for today. God, tell me what you want me to do, but no, I'm not doing what you want me to do right now. But I want to know then. Tell me. God, show me who I'm supposed to marry. But then we don't want to follow his way of dating. Oh, I'm going to date how I want to, but God, tell me who to marry. Do it all the time. God, bless my life, but we don't want to obey him with our money, with our habits, with our mouth, with our motives. We want the fruit without the faithfulness, right? God, show up in my life and do great things, but I don't want to do what you're telling me to. Give me the fruit without the faithfulness, or we want the blessing without the obedience. And I'll just tell you, here's the bottom line. You cannot walk in God's will if you are disobeying God's word. I cannot put it any more black and white. You cannot follow God's will unless when you are disobeying God's word. Period. You want to know God's will for your life? Start by doing what he's already said to do. And you will begin to hear and understand God's will. Love people like Jesus loved them, even when they're hard to love. We all got those EGR people in our life, extra grace required. Love them. Tell the truth, even when the lie would be easier. Be generous, even when it costs you. Live wholeheartedly for Jesus, even when it makes you stand out. And let me just tell you right now, if you live the way God's word teaches you, it will not be easy. In fact, it'll be really, really hard. But it'll always be worth it. It'll always be worth it. Which gets me to the third part of God's will. Third thing we have is God's permissive will. And that is the freedom that God gives us to make choices. Even when our choices aren't perfect. We need to understand something really important. Yes, God is sovereign. He is ruling. He is directing history. But he is not forcing every human decision. Because if God forced you to love him, it wouldn't really be love, would it? If God forced you to obey him, it wouldn't really be obedience. Because you wouldn't have a choice in that. God is relational. He wants to love you, and he wants you to love him, so he gives you real freedom. Only chance for love to actually exist is for there to be a freedom of choice for us to choose to love. That means you have the freedom to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, or you have the freedom to do what a lot of people do and say, forget God, I just want to do what I want to do. I want my own way. You have that freedom. You have the freedom to live by God's truth that sets you free, or you can say, no, I want to follow my desires. I want what I want. It's my life, my choice. If I feel it, I'm going to do it. You can live that way. That's not living in God's will. That's also making choices in your life that are just going to bring difficulty. Because God permits us to make choices that aren't down the road he wants us to go down, which actually gets us to go down roads that he didn't design for us. Didn't design it for us. Can I just tell you, just because you can do something doesn't mean you should do it? We teach our kids this all the time, right? It's like, hey, just because you can doesn't mean you should. There's like dumb stuff out there. I love how the Apostle Paul, he was a Jesus hater who turned into a devout follower. He says this in 1 Corinthians 10:23. He says, you say I'm allowed to do anything. True. But not everything's good for you. And you want to argue with me, so you're going to say it again, but I'm allowed to do anything. Yeah. But not everything is beneficial. This is so clear. It's like God may permit it. That doesn't mean it's good for you. Doesn't mean it's wise. It doesn't mean it's beneficial. Like you might ask, hey, well, can I play video games all day for the rest of my life? And God would say, yes, you can, but that's really stupid. And all parents in the world would say, amen, right? God gives us the freedom to choose. The problem is we don't always choose wisely. That's one of the reasons why there's so much pain in the world. When people go, well, why is there so much pain and suffering in the world? Well, sometimes we do dumb things and they catch up with us. Other times, other people do dumb things and their decisions catch up with us. Other times, Life just hurts because we live in a fallen world that has not yet been fully redeemed by Jesus Christ. But here's the good news. None of that is outside of God's ability to redeem. None of it. He may allow it, and you may hate it. You may not understand it. But God can still redeem it. Can still redeem it. That's the hope of the gospel, right? It's like your pain is real, but it's not final. Like, that's the hope. That your regret is real, but your regret's not sovereign. God is. What God permits, he always and will have the power to redeem. Thank God he does that. So we have God's sovereign will, we have his moral will, we have his permissive will, and then we have the one that everybody's excited about. Like, this is the one we want to know, God's personal will, right? Isn't that what you want? Like, what's your personal will? What is God's unique and specific calling just for you? And what is amazing is that God has a plan for every single one of us. If you have been saved by Jesus, your sins have been forgiven, and you weren't just saved from something, you were saved for something. Now let me say this again, because this is about you personally. You weren't just saved from something. You were actually saved for something. You were saved for a purpose. You were saved to live in a way that serves people and honors God. And Scripture tells us clearly that we're God's handiwork created in Christ Jesus. Now that word handiwork means masterpiece, a brilliant creation of God. Now just think about this. You are a brilliant creation of God. Other people aren't a brilliant creation of God. You are. And every person that you see, whether you love them or hate them, is a brilliant creation of God. But you're not saved by your good works. You are actually saved for good works that God determined for you to do before you were born. Like, God has prepared in advance for you to have certain things to do for him. Now think about that. God has good works with your name on them right now. He placed you in this moment in history with your gifts, your wiring, your experiences, and your opportunities so you could bless people and make an impact. And they've got your name on them. There are people for you to love here that need your love, because when you love them, it's going to be like Jesus is loving them. There are people that God needs you to meet. There is a mission for you to fulfill. It is God's personal will. And here is the great news that you need to know. If God prepared those good works for you, he has prepared you for those good works. Now just think about that for a second. If God has prepared good works for you to do, he's also prepared you for those good works. So if you want to know what God's will is, this is what he says he will do for you in Psalm 32:8. He says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye. I'm going to say that again. I will instruct you. This is God talking to you. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. Now, who is the Holy Spirit? It's the Spirit that God gives everyone who says yes to him. The Holy Spirit is our counselor. He is with you. He comforts you. He guides you. So when you ask God, which way do I go? God says, I will show you, I will teach you, and I will guide you with my loving eye on you. That's how good God is. He doesn't say, good luck. I'll let you know if you get it right. You want to know what God's will is? He will instruct you. He will guide you. He will teach you, because he's a good God. He's a good God. And when you get to know God's heart, you begin to know God's will. And here's where we tend to mess this up. We tend to overcomplicate his will, and we underestimate his goodness. We overcomplicate his will. We underestimate his goodness. Like, God is not playing games with your future. That's not what God does. He's not hiding his will for you. His purposes are bigger than your past. His plan is bigger than your mistakes. Because sometimes we're just like, well, I screwed that up. I'm out of God's will. He's not good enough to redeem me so that I can get back on track and fulfill the purposes that he has for me. But yet, as you get to know God through his word, through prayer, through worship, through community, through the Holy Spirit, as you begin to walk in His will, you begin to realize that at any point you get off track, you are a decision away from getting back on track. Because that's how good our God is. So let me start moving us towards a conclusion that we're going to unpack over the next 3 weeks. What do we do with all of this? How do we begin to understand God's personal will for our lives? Because that's where we want to get to. We want to get to, okay, what's your personal will? What's a personal will? It starts with Jesus. If you have not surrendered your life to Jesus, then you don't have access to the Holy Spirit, who will guide you and teach you and counsel you and lead you down the path that God has for you. So it starts with Him. If you've not surrendered your life to Jesus, you can't learn and understand and be taught what God's will is for you. So it starts there, and so I'm going to give some of you the opportunity to do that in just a minute. But once the journey begins, and so let me talk to those of you that have kind of crossed the line of faith. You said yes to Jesus. Let me see, how do we find and follow God's will? It starts with God's sovereign will. I want to tell you about one of the most powerful Bible studies I've ever done in my life was by a guy named Henry Blackaby. It was called Experiencing God. I did it 30 years ago. He said something I've never forgotten in 30 years. He said this. He said, find where God's moving and go there. It's that simple. Find where God's moving and go there. What is he saying? God's already at work. So look for him. Find where he's moving and join him there. Join him in what he's already doing. And let me just tell you, this is why we regularly invite you to serve here, to lead here, to join a group here, to take a class, to lead a huddle, and step into responsibility within the church. Because God's moving here. God is reaching people here. God is building his church. And when you use your gifts, your talents, and your resources to serve in the local church, you're joining God in his sovereign will. You're also joining God in his sovereign will when you help the poor and the needy and the widows and the orphans and the hurting. You're joining God in what he is already at work doing. So find where God is moving and go there. Join him. Jump in. Well, what do we do with the second part of God's will, God's moral will? Obey it. Do it. Walk with God daily, live his way, follow his moral direction, start living out God's moral will and live a holy life, and you will be in God's will. What does God want you to do? Be holy. So you can know when you make choices to follow God's way and follow God's path over the world that you are stepping into God's will, his moral will. What do we do with his permissive will? We accept it. We accept it. We trust that even when his permissive will allows difficulty, loss, and tragedy, that he's still a good God. He's still a good Father. So we accept that. And then when you have joined God in what he's already doing, you've submitted yourself to his moral will and you have trusted him even in his permissive will, you will begin to hear from God and understand his personal will for you. There's a process to getting to the point where you know what God wants you to do. That's not the first thing he leads with. There's steps to getting there. And so I want to share with you a verse that I found decades ago that helped me unlock God's personal will for my life. It's kind of like a cheat code. I'm just telling you, this is a, you want to know what God wants you to do? This is a cheat code. This is like a secret that I found in Scripture, and it is something that I long for you to experience. And it's a very, very simple verse. It's Psalm 37:4. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. What does that mean to delight yourself in the Lord? Love him over anything else in your life. Delight yourself. Get to know his heart. Love God's word. Love his ways. Love his person in Jesus Christ. Believe from the bottom of your heart that God has your best intentions in mind. Delight yourself. Love the church. Love everything about God. And he'll do what? Give you the desires of your heart. Now, this is twofold. You start delighting yourself in the Lord. He will plant in your heart desires that are in line with his will. He will put those there. He will give you the desires of your heart. And you will want to do God's will. And then the second part of this verse, which is absolutely fascinating, and this is the secret, you delight yourself in the Lord, He will give you the desires of your heart, desires to follow His will and do what His personal will and direction for your life. Then He'll give you the ability to fulfill those desires. You can actually then do what God has put in your heart to do because you delighted yourself in Him way back here, and suddenly you are doing exactly what you want to do, and God is showing up in your life, and things are happening around you, and you are having an impact for the kingdom of God. That's how that works. You know, one of our visions here is to help families win with Jesus. Let me just tell you what a family winning with Jesus looks like. It's a family that has joined God in His sovereign will. They have found where God is moving, and they're there. They're serving, figuring out their gifts, being a part of bringing God's kingdom from heaven to earth. They're a family that has decided, you know what, we're going to surrender to God's moral will. We're going to live His way. We're going to read God's word, and we're going to do life the way that He has told us to do it, so that we're dead center of His moral will. And a family like that, when God's permissive will happens and difficulty hits and tragedy strikes, which it does for all of us, it's a family that leans into God and accepts that and lets God help them through that. They don't allow that to blow their family apart or move them away from God. Those moments actually bring them closer to God. And then it's a family that's living out His personal will, where each family member is using their gifts to serve the Lord and serve His mission on earth. And I want that so badly for you. I just want it for you. I want you to be dead center of God's will. His sovereign, His moral, His permissive, and His personal will for you. Because when you get to that place, God will use you to impact the world around you in such a way that all of heaven will benefit. And so will every person that comes in contact with you. And you'll experience the blessings of God. You see, the more engaged in God's sovereign will, and the more surrendered I am to God's moral will, the easier it will be for me to discover God's personal will for my life. And when God shares with you His personal will, let me just tell you, if you get to the point where God shares with you His personal will, it is for participation, not consideration. In fact, I would say if you want to know God's personal will and you just want to throw it in consideration pile with all the other stuff you want to do and just see if it is better, good luck hearing from Him. He knows your heart, right? He knows your thoughts. He's like, I'm not going to give you this for consideration. This is for participation. If I'm going to give you my personal will for you, it's because this is what you are here to do. I created you for this, and it's time to go. We don't consider that. We participate in it. So I want to end with a story. I want to show you how, looking back on my life, I see God's hand and God's guidance in my life. In God's sovereign will, He willed for me to be born in Houston, Texas on October 11th, 1973. I was born out of wedlock to an alcoholic father and a mother who was abusing pharmaceutical drugs. Did God choose that for me? I don't think so. I think that was God's permissive will. He allowed that to happen. They got married shortly after I was born. They had another child, my brother Keith, and then they got divorced early on. My mom then moved her two boys to Texas where her family grew up. She got remarried to an abusive stepdad. We grew up in a tension-filled home. But my mom loved God. She dragged us to every church within 10 miles of that place. I grew up hearing about Jesus, let me tell you. I heard about Jesus three times a week and then every other day because mom was always saying something about Jesus. In high school, I fell in love with golf. Got good at it, wanted to play it in college. Came down to two schools, one school in Texas, one school in Michigan. I'll tell you this story in week three, but I just did a lot of praying and God took me up to Oakland University up in Michigan. had a great golf career there, and my dream was to go play professionally. But during my freshman year, something happened to me. I started going to church, and I started serving. I joined God in His sovereign will as a freshman in college, in helping build His church. And I started delighting myself in the Lord. I started loving Him more than I loved my own plans and my own will. I started loving God's will. At 19, I began to pray and I began to ask God and said, God, I truly want Your will, not mine, for my life. I believe Your will is going to be better than my will. I believe that Your plan is going to be better than my plan. So God, I give my life to You and I want whatever You have for me. After my sophomore year, I met a girl named Missy Bergstrom at the time. She loved Jesus. She was deeply committed to God's moral will. She was already serving God in His sovereign will through her church. We fell in love. During those college years, like, God made it clear that His personal will for me was to be a pastor in His church. And I did not like that answer. I wanted to play golf. And so God and I argued for 3 years, and He won. After college, on April 12, 1997, at 23 and 22 years old, Melissa Bergstrom became Melissa Valentine. We got married, and let me just tell you, today is our 29-year anniversary. Yep. She looks the same, doesn't she? I'm like, dang it, I look old. God has kept her blind for 29 years. She still loves me. I don't know how that's happened. We've raised our 4 kids with a foundation in our home on the rock, Jesus Christ. The rock, Jesus Christ. Our life has had a lot of ups and downs. Our life has had deep tragedies and high mountaintops. Our life has had heartbreak and a lot of joy. But if I fast forward to this moment, standing here with you, teaching God's word, building His church, I look back and realize that God's will wasn't all that complicated. God was just really good. God's just been really good. Because we wouldn't be here doing this together if I hadn't been born in Houston, Texas, to an alcoholic father and a drug-abusing mom. And they got divorced. And my mom moved us from Michigan to Texas. And I fell in love with Jesus. And she married an abusive stepdad. If I had not fallen in love with golf, if I had not gone back to Michigan, if I had not pursued God, if I had not surrendered my life to Him, if I had not married Melissa, somehow all of my pain, my passions, my disappointments, my gifts, my surrender worked together and brought me to this moment where God, in His personal will, has given me the opportunity to do the good works that He planned for me long ago. That is to teach you about Jesus, to encourage you in your faith, to invite you along on a journey where we get to see how many people God might influence for Him through a community of people that just love Him and want to follow His sovereign, moral, permissive, and personal will for their lives. God planned long ago for me to help you win and your family win. And by delighting in Him, He put that desire in my heart to grow His church and to help people find Him. He's allowing me to do that every single day of my life. And I will just tell you, I want nothing more than for you to be in the center of God's will and be doing the same in the way that God has called you to. Your story's not mine, your journey's not mine, but God's will, it's good. And He has planned for you to do good things since before the day you were born. And if you will delight yourself in Him, He will give you the desires in your heart to do those things, and He'll let you do them. And when you get there, let me just tell you, it's a sweet spot of life that you can finish out your days if you can stay in the center of God's will. Let's pray together. For some of you, following God's will starts right now with accepting Jesus, inviting him into your heart for the first time. And I mean really inviting him in. The Bible tells us that it is God's will that none should perish, but that everyone would be saved. But it's still our choice whether we step into his will or not. So if today's your day, I just want to invite you to pray a simple prayer with me. There's nothing magical about repeating certain words. Prayer is not a formula. It's just a way of expressing trust. What matters in this moment is just the posture of your heart. And so if today you're trusting Jesus for the first time, just pray with me. Borrow my word. Jesus, I need you. I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died for my sin. I believe you rose again. I turn from my old life and I place my trust in you. Forgive me. Make me new. Be my Savior and my King. I give you my life and I submit to your will. Help me join you in your sovereign will. Help me follow your moral will. Help me lean into you with your permissive will. And Jesus, would you tell me the good works that you planned for me from before I was born? And for the rest of us, this is a morning to surrender our will to God. It's just time for some of you who know God in this room to surrender your will. So I want to pray for you. God, would you give those of us in the room that just need to surrender right now, would you give us the strength to do so, to just let go, to just trust you? And God, in those moments, would you just speak? Would you lead? Would you guide? Would you teach? Would you instruct? And take us down the paths that you have for us. Your holy name. Amen. Well, we're going to respond to that with a couple of songs of worship.